said to Krishna, better you make some, you turn the feeler into chandra and then put it on the forehead. So he just touched the feeler, then it became chandra. And what's the other story about Radharani when she was little and she would come over here and meet her grandmother and play on these?
Yeah, play on these, all these things. Like she went to her, there's so many noises and then...
But isn't there some story when Krishna sometimes he'd be playing his flute over by Govardhan? He'd be playing his flute with the cows and Radharani would come over here and she would respond to him. And she would play these sounds and they would communicate through the sound.
वो तो यही है वो राधा रानी जब बच्चा थी ना छोटी थी तो इनकी नानी थी प्रकृति के बहुत दिन लेट हुई राधा रानी तो उसके बारे में वो लेके आई तो उन्होंने सुनी ये बात तो वो रोने लगे गोदी में लगे तो उन्होंने वो सिल बजाई तो बच्चा होता है ना बच्चा भी बजाकर खड़खड़ करता है तो चुप हो गया ठीक है ना तो उसी समय फ्रेंड में शक्ति आ गई ताकत राधा रानी स्वयं बजाएंगे तो वाइन
सुना Not that much. Okay. What about the kund? Is there any special thing about the kund? Any lila chari?
Kund pe koi yahan par lila ho ya koi kaan nahi yahan pe. Kund jo hai yahan par dikhe.
Kund ye mukhra kund nahi ka tha.
Mukhra kund.
Haan.
Yahan par kaun aata tha? Matlab Radha Rani snan karti thi, unki nani snan karti thi.
Nahi, unki nani snan karti thi, fir unki Radha Rani ki jo mata ji hai na Kirti. Haan. Kirti ka wo yahi ki to thi. Yahi se to bhai Radha Rani aur yahi ki तो वो कुनी का कुंड है जो पहले बहुत पुराना है इसमें अंग्रेजों के जो मुसलमानी पूरा राज हुआ उससे पहले के बने हुए इसमें मूर्ति आपकी
नहीं है
आवाज करूँ
आवाज बजाओ Radharani's Leela. You can see also the stones are worn out in different places where Radharani is playing frequently. That's like when someone plays a guitar and plays an instrument where they're always strumming, it becomes worn out. You know, the fretboard, you know, where they're playing the fret, becomes worn out. So you can see the different place on the stone where Radharani was sitting more prominently, it becomes all rounded. So this, you know what I'm saying? You see here, you see this place here. This is obviously a prominent place here.
Mm.
See how it's rounded?
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to that, that's just normal flat. This is, so those are the places where Radharani is here. So those are very, very special places. Anybody have 20 rupees for them, all right?
Alas, put them.
Take him aside and just speak to him softly. You know, nicely. So when we go to Lilasthan, whenever we go to take bath or we go to, you know, whenever we see deities or we come to the holy lake or whatever, we always pay our obeisances, right? And why do we do that?
Take dust from this place, and our heads.
I'm just asking a question. That we go to, like, we see deities, or we see some Leelasthan or some Sarovar or some Kund or something, or we see this Bhajan Shila. Then we pay obeisances. So why do we do that? So I want to hear what the answer is. Why do we do that? Why do we do that?
To pray for the mercy and show respect.
What
is
the respect we're doing?
Out of respect?
Take the dust because of you.
Take the dust on your head?
Out of humility, we're...
Out of humility?
I mean, we have to...
Something to say? Say something. Pay respect and obeisances. Anything else?
Krishangi, speak something. Sounds of grudge. Mara?
I said that he had to offer respect and to begging for the mercy of this place.
Begging for the eternal service. Okay. Actually, the answers are all very nice. They're basically true. But one thing is that the main thing is that we go to a place, we offer our obeisances, and we're offering our obeisances to the spirit. Put your head down, you're supposed to offer pranam to the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is the one who's revealing the holy Dham. He's revealing the path. It's one of the offenses, the 10 offenses to the holy Dham. Do you know the 10 offenses to the holy Dham? If you live in the holy Dham, just like if you live with... Hey. If you live in the holy Dham, just like if you live with the holy name, you have to know the offenses of the holy name. The holy name will give you, you'll try the offenses and you'll get the right results. So same way, if living in the holy Dham, if you don't know the offenses, I mean, if you don't know what the offenses are and are aware of what they mean and what the significance of it all is, you won't get the proper results from living in the holy Dham. Is that right? So therefore, the third offense against the holy Dham is to blaspheme. Just like the third, what is the third offense? Or the third offense against the holy name? So the third offense against the holy Dham is to make offenses to the spiritual master who's revealed the holy Dham to the disciples. So the principle is, see, these offenses are related to principles. They're related to very important spiritual principles, philosophical principles that are required for sadhana. So the principle is to offend the spiritual master who's... offend the spiritual master who is the revealer of the Dham. So the Dham, the holy Dham, is revealed by the spiritual master. Therefore, what is the holy Dham? Holy Dham means all these Leela Sthans, all these Sarovaras, all these Kuns, all these deities, all these holy places, Girat, Govardhan, Bhajan, Sthali, etc., etc. Those will, they'll be, we want, like you're saying, you're praying for these places to reveal that. So you're close. Like you said, we offer our head in the dust and we pray for these places to reveal themselves. But how do these places reveal themselves? These places reveal themselves by the mercy of the spiritual master. The third offense against the holy Dham is to blaspheme the spiritual master or the guru who has revealed the holy Dham. So that means if we're not properly situated in a proper mood of respect and reverence and actual service towards the spiritual master, the holy Dham will never be revealed to us. So therefore, when we go to these places, we offer respect and we take our time. And we offer full obeisances to the spiritual master. We actually recite his pranam for him. There's no hurry. It's not like, no, you know? It's like we want to say, here we are, okay. No, we take our time. There's no hurry. How often do we go on Parikrama? Very, very rare. How many places? So if we can just have one speck of dust of Vrindavan revealed to us, if one speck of the dust of Vrindavan can be revealed to us, then we'll see the whole spiritual world. Just like Brahma, he got one mantra, Gopal mantra, and just because he very attentively and purely chanted that mantra, he had darshan of the whole spiritual world. And after he had darshan, then he said Chintamani, Prakata Sadmashu, and all those verses describing what he saw in Brahma Samhita. He got the Gopal mantra, the Krishna mantra. So from one mantra, he's got everything. So one holy place, you can put your head down at the bhajan shields of Radharani and Mukherjee, and then you can come up and you'll see Radharani and Mukherjee and Kirtida and Shyam and everything. By the mercy of the spiritual master. So this is an important point when we're going around. You know, our proper practice of sadhana will bring us a proper sadhya or goal. So it's very, very important to go to Leela Sthan and pray, especially we pray first to our spiritual master, please bestow your mercy upon me. So the secret So the secret treasures of this holy place, this transcendental place of Krishna's pastimes, can be revealed to me. I want to live here eternally. I want to live here eternally in Vrindavan, in all these places. I want them to be my places. My home. This is my home. I want to know all these places, and I want to serve all these places. Serve in all these places eternally. In my spiritual form. So that is not possible, that person is a spiritual master. Nothing will be revealed. You can go on 1,000 parikramas and see 1,001 places. You know your way all around everywhere. I know Javad, know this place, that place. But unless you actually approach these places with the proper reverence and the proper mood of love and the proper mood of submission and absorption in the mercy of the spiritual master, it will never be revealed. So we should go on in a proper way, just like there's a proper way to chant Hare Krishna. There's a proper way to do puja. There's a proper way to make an offering for the Lord. So there's a proper way to go on prikama. And we hear the stories, and we pray, and we're in a very humble mood, and we're very enthusiastic. We're saying that we should be enthusiastic. But moreover, we should always be remembering the spiritual master who's actually revealing the holy dham to us. Oh, here I am. Now I'm at Mukura Kund. Oh, my dear spiritual master, oh, Srila Prabhupada, please reveal some of the secrets of this place. Now I'm going to put, it's not external. It's not that, oh, now I put some water on my head. It's not like some ritual. Okay, now you bend down. Okay, now you put some hachma, now you put some water. Okay, very well, then you get the mercy. You do those things because those are part of the actions that we do. But moreover, our heart has to bend down. Our heart has to bend down to these places, and our mind has to bend down, but always bends down to lotus feet of the spiritual master. This is a very, very important point. The revealer of the Dham. That's why there's 10 offenses that are given to us. And, you know, every time you get a little notebook or a little pamphlet about the festival of Mayapur, Vrindavan, it lists 10 offenses, and we see them every year. And even after living in a Dham for a year or two, we don't even know what they are. So, therefore, it's very, very important that we understand this principle. The Guru is the revealer of the Dham. Nam, Dham, all is revealed. Nam, Dham, Guna, Leela, it's all revealed by the Guru. Guru gives us name. Guru gives us entrance to the Dham. Guru gives us entrance into the spiritual world. Guru reveals everything. So there's Guru on our head. When we're putting our head down, we're putting our head at the feet of the Guru, our spiritual master. Oh, Satchinanda Swami Maharaj. Please, now, by your mercy, I'm able to come to Vrindavan. You allow me to come here. Now I'm at this Leela Sthan. Please bestow your mercy upon me and reveal this holy Dham to me. And reveal my eternal identity so I can serve you eternally in the land of Vrindavan. This should be our prayer. Our Hare Krishna Maharaj, your Pran Krishna Das Bhavati Maharaj. And he's right over here. He's just a few meters away from here. Oh, my Guru Maharaj. So he should be right here. He should never be more than, right where your heart is. He should be there. So you're bowing down. You're seeing him. When you can start to see your spiritual master every time you bow down your head, then you'll start, then when that vision is there, when that submission is there, you see your spiritual master's form and his instructions whenever you bend down your head, then the holy Dham will become visible to you very quickly. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Vasis ki jai, Kirti Dama ki jai, Mukara ki jai, Radharani ki jai, Kiras ki jai, Srigorna ki jai, Rajabhumi ki jai, Dai Gorimandi Hari The figures of Shiva and Parvati. Yeah,
Shiva and Parvati. Muslim, she was in four arms.
She was four arms.
Yeah. He said that mom didn't attack. First, all these deities are there in the temple.
That's right.
There was temple. But then mom just came and then they attack on this temple and then all they destroy the deities and everything. And now the deities are here.
And deities are Mukarai Kirtira and Vadari. Mukara's name is Mukara, because Mukara means mouth.
Yeah, first means mouth. He was speaking frankly in front of anybody.
Oh, she would speak very straightforward and frankly in front of anyone. Tell it like it is. She wouldn't speak in a crooked way. She wasn't afraid of anyone because she's elderly and she just speaks straight. Why are you running with Shyam Sundar? Or? The second
reason
is Jasmine's mouth. Okay. In the middle is Radharani, and on her left side is Kirtida, and on her Radharani's right side, which is our left side, is Mukara, her grandmother. Mukara is the mother of Kirtida, and Kirtida is the mother of Radharani. So Radharani, of course, when she was staying in Barsana, or Yavit, she would come here time to time to visit with her grandmother. Maybe we'll sit down and we'll talk, maybe, some of those things. He's saying when Radharani was staying in Barsana, she would come here to visit her grandmother in Mukurai, and then Mukura would ask Radharani, how is it that you love Shyam? How do you love him? I want to know how you love him. And then so he's saying this is the main center of the love between Radha and Krishna. Of course, this is right next to Radhakund, where Radha and Krishna exchange their most intimate pastimes. So the Pujari is saying like that. This is the love expands from here. So another name of Mukura, you could also say Mukura means like Mukiras. You have Gonaras and Mukiras. So Mukia means primary. Primary, or the primary ras. So we have Gonaras. Mukiras means the Panch Ras, like Madhurya Ras is Mukia. Or the primary ras is the love between Radha and Krishna. So in Mukara, she's asking, you know, what is, explain this love that you have for Krishna, please, I want to hear it. So we'll read also about how Mukara, she would help. She was always assisting in the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Although sometimes she sounded externally unfavorable, she's actually always, in her heart, always wanted to see Radha and Krishna be together. It was her innermost heart was to see that Radharani would always be with Shyam in Radhakund or in Javed or Sanket or Prem Sarovar, anywhere. So she would come, of course, every day to Barsana. She would come from here to Barsana to see Radharani, and she'd go to Nandagram to see Krishna. And in this way, she was assisting in her own way as the grandmother. She was assisting in the wonderful transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna from this place. So this place is actually saturated with the loving vibration of Radha and Krishna because of the benign blessings of her grandmother, Mukura and Kirtida. Yeah, I remember that. Actually, of course, in Vamshivad in Vrindavan, and in Chandra Sarovar, in Parsoli Gram or Vamshivat, where they would have the Vasant Ras or the Sharad Ras, Radha and Krishna would dance wonderful Ras Leela. So when Radharani was a little girl, little girls, they often learn how to dance. Yeah. Little girls, they go to school, they learn how to dance and sing and play music. It's a common thing, especially in India. So similarly, Radharani would come here and in this place, and there was nobody around here to look at her, just her grandmother. So she would feel very relaxed and very comfortable, and she would just dance around here, dance around in the courtyard, dance around inside, and just dance and practice different dancing, so that when she grew up, she could dance very nice. Harivo, Harivo. So when she was dancing, when Radharani was dancing, of course she had her bangles. She had her Nupura, and her different bangles, and her Nupura, and her Kinkini. So when she's dancing, Radharani is practicing different dances. And in her mind, she's seeing Krishna in her mind, just like sometimes we see in these plays or something, the maidservant dances with a broom or something. And she's thinking and she's dancing around. She's sweeping the floor and she starts dancing with the broom and imagines she's dancing with a king or a prince or something. So Radharani, she wasn't with Krishna. If Krishna was in Gwalpukur or Govardhan or Manasi Ganga with the Gwals and the Gos and the Gayas, then Radharani would be here thinking of Krishna, but then dancing in the courtyard. And then and what happened is the sound from her Nupura, Kinkini, and the musical sound of her Nupura and Kinkini would go into the stones. So all these stones absorbed, because they're also devotees, so they all absorbed the sound of Radharani's musical, you know, her anklets and her bangles and her waist bells. So now if you hit any stone here, they bring back that music, just like a tape recorder. You make some music on a tape recorder, then you play back, you know, rewind, then push button, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it comes. So all these stones, they're chinmoya, chinmoya shakti. Chinmoya means it's transcendental, spiritual energy. So that all these stones are like recorders, like cassette recorders, and they recorded the ankle bells of Radharani and the Nupura and the Kinkini. Now when you hit them, you're hearing actually the sound of Radharani's ankle bells. You're hearing her ankle bells, her Kinkini, her waist bells, and like that. That's why it's such a very wonderful place. And that sound is simply the vibration of her heart. The love of her heart for Shyam is coming out through that sound. Like if you love someone, you sing a song. Maybe you sing a love song. Oh, I love this person. You sing their name. So Radharani's heart is always singing the name of Shyam. It's always vibrating with the name of Shyam when she's dancing. Shyam, 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 Shyam. So her nupur, her ankle belts, everything is vibrating Shyam. So that's the sound of her loving chanting. Her loving heart is filled in these stones. That's why Pujariji is saying that this place is full, is saturated with the love of Radha and Krishna. Mukarai Dham Ki Jai. There's a description of different inhabitants of Vrindavan and the Buddhist monks of Vrindavan. And this one verse here describes Mukara. Pratama Rasvi Lasi Hantu Roshena Tavat Prakatam Iva Virodam Sanda Dhanapi Bhangya Prabhalyati Sukam Yanavya Yuno Sanatro Param Iha Mukaram Samburdni Vridam Vahami. Please repeat. Pratama.
Pratama.
First.
Rasa.
Flavor.
Flavor.
Or erotic mellow.
Or erotic mellow.
Vilas.
Vilas.
Pastime.
Pastime.
Hanta.
Hanta.
Alas.
Alas.
Roshena.
Roshena.
Anger.
Anger.
Tavat.
Tavat.
Thus far.
Thus far.
Prakatam.
Prakatam.
Manifest.
Manifest.
Eva.
Eva.
As if.
As if.
Virodham.
Virodham.
Obstacle.
Obstacle.
Sandadhana.
Sandadhana.
Placing.
Placing.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Bhangya.
Bhangya.
Cleverly.
Cleverly.
Prabalayati.
Prabalayati.
Strengthen.
Sukham.
Sukham. Happiness.
Happy.
Ya.
Ya.
Who.
Who.
Navya.
Navya.
Fresh.
Fresh.
You know.
You know.
The pair.
The pair.
I always say you know means the pair. Means like yugal roop. You know, the pair, the pair. You know. Swa.
Aswa.
On.
On.
Naptro.
Naptro.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
Param.
Param.
Supreme.
Supreme.
Iha.
Iha.
In Braja.
Mukaram.
Mukaram.
Mukara.
Mukara.
Tam.
Tam.
Her.
Mordni.
On the head.
Vidham.
Vidham.
Old woman.
Old woman.
Bahami.
Bahami.
I carry.
Okay.
So this is the prayer of Raghunath Das Goswami when he's remembering. In his smaran, in his lila smaran, while he's doing manasi seva of Braj and of Radha and Krishna, he's remembering all that. He's in some of his bhajan, he sits and he remembers. Just like we hear Raghunath Das Goswami, he offers 2,000 obeisances to all the parikars, the nitya parishads of Lord Chaitanya. He thinks of one by one, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then he offers obeisances, and Surat Damodar, and he offers obeisances, Ramananda Roy, and he offers obeisances. So in the same way, he thinks of all the lila sthans. In this particular book, Savavali, he thinks of the lila sthans of Radha and Krishna and of all the parikars, Mukara, Purnamasi, Nandavava, Yashoda, etc. And he offers prayers of obeisances and respect to them and remembering them. So now we've come to this place, Mukarai, which is a very wonderful village of the grandmother of Radharani and her mother, Kirtido. So we want to enter the family of Radharani. We want to enter her family. We want to be her servants. So it's explained that the grandfather is always very kind to the grandchildren. Prabhupada has mentioned that. Like a father may be a little mean, may be a little rough, chastise us or correct us, but the grandfather is always giving us blessings. He always gives us, you know, candy or money or whatever when he comes and sees us, and he likes so much. The affection of the grandfather always goes to the grandchildren. And he doesn't like to chastise because he's already been through all that when he was a father. He just wants to give love and blessings and kindness. So Radharani's grandmother is Kirti. Mukara. So this is her village, so we're coming here as like grandchildren. We want the mercy of the grandmother. It's like our spiritual master. He may be sometimes hard on us. Hard as a thunderbolt. Very hard. A thunderbolt is a very hard thing. Thunderbolt can crack away mountaintops. Hard granite, hard stone, stone hard. We say stone hard granite. But the spiritual master's instructions or his chastisement or his correction can sometimes be harder than that. Harder than a thunderbolt. But then he can be softer than a rose. The petals of a rose are very soft and very sweet and wonderful to touch and behold. So he can be even softer than that. But the grandmother's grandfather is always very kind, so we come here to get the mercy of the grandmother, Mukura. Please be merciful to us, to give us the service of your granddaughter. Please give us the eternal service of Srimati Radharani, Radhadasyam. We come here as beggars to the grandmother. Oh, grandmother, we're your children, we're your little grandchildren, and we're trying to tread the path of bhakti, tread the path of devotional service, and we want to end up in the eternal service of Radharani. So please be kind to us. Let your mercy flow to us. So in this prayer, Raghunath Das is praying to Mukura. He says, I carry the old lady Mukura, who gives her grandchildren the fresh adolescent pair of Sri Sri Radhamadav, boundless bliss by cleverly and angrily opposing the erotic pastimes on my head. So Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, I carry Mukura on my head. I take the dust from Mukura's feet and I carry it on my head. I want to, he says, Paramiha Mukaram Tam Murdni Bridam Bahami. It is Bahami, I carry on my head, Murdni, Mukura. So I'm carrying her, and because she, with her mouth, sometimes she speaks things that seem contrary, because we see in Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavanamrita that Kaviraj Goswami, he presents one angle of vision of Mukura, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti presents another one. Of course, both of them are, of course, presenting that Mukura is favorable, but one appears on the outside to be unfavorable, like she's criticizing Radharani. Whose cheddar is this? What are you doing with this cheddar? And then Lalita has to make up some funny statements about all the sunshine. But that dialogue isn't there in the Krishna Bhavanamrita. Do you have that Krishna Bhavanamrita there also? Only Govinda Lilamrita there. That's what I mean. It's both. Okay. So we'll read that. So the all the people of Braja play a share in helping to nourish the sweetness of Radha and Madhav's conjugal pastime. Just as there are very visible assistants that nourish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, like the Sakis and Manjaris, there are also rival consorts like Chandravali that also nourish Radharani's man, as well as a friendly party and a neutral party of gopis, and the Priyanarma Sakas like Subal. Then there's mothers, fathers, fathers-in-laws, mothers-in-laws, relatives, grandfathers, grandmothers, and all kinds of invisible assistants. So all the different persons in Vrindavan, they're all assisting, either directly and visibly or in the background, pushing and arranging. And sometimes you don't see Vrindadevi so much in the foreground, but she's in the background with all the Vandevis. She's making so many wonderful arrangements. In the foreground, you see Radharani and Lalita and Shamasundar or Chandravali. You see the Sakis and the coward boys. But behind them, pushing and arranging and making also a facility for Radha and Krishna to meet and have pastimes, are the gopas, the coward boys, like Subal and Sridham and others, and all the grandparents and the elderly gopis. They're all assisting in making arrangements for Radha and Krishna's pastimes. The role of Mukura, Radharani's grandmother, is unprecedented. Mukura is called the maternal grandmother of both Radha and Krishna, because Radha and Krishna are essentially one at heart. Radha's maternal grandmother is also Krishna's maternal grandmother. Another explanation is that some elderly gopis are generally known as everyone's maternal grandmother in Braja. And then it explains from Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, Rupa Goswami is explaining. And we see that sometimes in the village. In the village, there are some older persons, and they call them Dadu or something? Means old person or grandmother? So they just, any old person in the village, the young people call him Dada. That means he's got like 50 grandfathers. Obviously, you can only have two grandfathers, right? Your mother's father and your father's father. They have two grandfathers. But in the village, there's Dada or Didima or all these kind of things. So this is also in the Krishna Leela. That's why the Acharyas are saying here that Mukura is also Krishna's grandmother, although there's no direct relationship, but because she's elderly, she's acting as grandmother. And then Rupa Goswami lists all these different devotees that are actually equal to maternal grandmothers. Barunda, Jatila, Bela, Karala, Karavalika, Gargara, Mukura, Gora, Ganta, Goni, Sugantika, Dakini, Dhondika, Dandi, Dindima, Pundavanika, Damani, Damari, Dumbi, Danaka. These are all grandmothers. Old Granny Mukura publicly, what do they say? They say Nani or something? What was he saying?
Nani to.
Nani to?
Mother.
Nani means mother.
Yeah.
So, old Granny Mukhera publicly opposes the meeting of Radha and Krishna. But in a clever way, Bunga, she's always actually encouraging and nourishing this meeting. Externally, Mukhera chastises them. But in her heart, she thinks it's very fine that they meet. But sometimes she catches them and says, what are you doing together? You shouldn't be here. Why are you with this person? I'm going to tell your mother right now. But in her heart, she's thinking, oh, it's so wonderful. They're finally together. I'm so happy to see them together. There's nothing more I want than to see Radha and Krishna together. And we see in Radhakund, there's some kunjas in Radhakund. Can't remember which ones. Maybe that's described. There's golden kunjas where Radharani's sitting there with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one called Hemakund. And everything is golden in that kunj. And, there's one kunj like Shamakunj. Everything is like monsoon color, like dark blue. The trees are dark blue. The leaves of the trees are dark blue. The flowers are dark blue. Just like Krishna's color of his body, dark blue. The ground is dark blue. Everything, the asans, everything is dark blue, like blue sapphires. So when Radharani's sitting in that kunj, in Radhakund with Krishna, side by side, sometimes Mukhera, she goes from here for a walk. Mukhera, because it's so close, she walks to Radhakund. She's walking by, and she looks in the Sham Kunj, and she sees Radharani just sitting there, just smiling. Oh, hi, grandmother. And she doesn't see Krishna sitting there because he blends in with the environment, because he's the same color. The trees are Sham blue, the ground is Sham blue, the asan, everything is Sham blue. So Mukhera says, oh, where is Sham? Sham is not here? Because actually she's expressing her heart. Mukhera wants to see Radharani with Sham. But she can't detect that he's there because he's blending in. He's melting into the environment. So Mukhera says, oh, where is Sham? Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen him. We're just sitting here enjoying this nice kunj. She goes, oh, you're very nice. What a very nice granddaughter. So well behaved. So properly behaving. So like this. Then the same thing is sometimes during the golden kunj, Hema kunj. And then Krishna's sitting there, and Mukhera comes by, oh, where's Radharani? And Krishna, oh, I don't have the slightest idea. I haven't seen her. I don't know where she is. She's sitting right next to him, but everything is golden, so she can't be seen.
Where is
Hema Kunj? I don't know exactly. It's we can see in, you can look up. Different kunjas are described. There's one section. You can see that some are golden. The name, I'm just saying Hema means golden, but exactly whose kunj is one of the Sakhi kunjas. In the morning, the cowherd village is filled with the sounds of brahmanas reciting the Vedas, the bellowing of cows, the churning of curd, and the milking of cows. The sun is rising on the eastern horizon. It is as if the bride of the eastern direction wears a red spot of sindur on the forehead. All the Brajvasis are waking up. In Yavat, Radha is lying in her bedroom, accompanied only by her friends like Lalita. She's sleeping out of extreme exhaustion from the rasa dance the night before. Then Krishna Bhavanamrita. Natri Mukambuja Vilokana Jivitayam. Anyway. Mukhera, whose very life is the sight of her granddaughter Radhika's lotus face, and it was like a box full of jewels of parental affection, came into Radharani's room and called out, oh, Radhe, my daughter, where are you? It's actually, Mukhera is a little blind also. We forgot to mention. Mukhera is a little bit blind. She can't see very well. So she comes in. She comes in. Oh, Radhe, where are you? Where are you? That's why she's saying, where are you? She's in her bedroom, but she's saying, where are you? Where are you? Because she's something under. She's something blind. She can't see very well. Oh, daughter, where are you? Seeing Mukhera, Jatila then also comes to quickly wake up her daughter-in-law. And desiring the welfare of her son, Abhimanyu, Jatila requests Mukhera to engage Radharani in Surya Puja. Mukhera repeatedly calls out, granddaughter, granddaughter, while entering into her room. Then she says, Utishta vatse shayanat pramugde yamasmari varodya ravestvaya kim snatva prabhatargya vidhanam asmai pujopaharam vachayasya chashu. Oh, my girl, get up from bed now. Oh, bewildered girl, have you forgotten that it's Sunday today? Take your bath and quickly prepare the paraphernalia for worshipping the Surya with morning oblations. Hearing Mukhera's voice, Ishaka and the other Sakis wake up and also awaken Srimati, who, stunned with fatigue, slowly sits up in her bed. When Mukhera sees Radha's limbs covered with a yellow garment, she says, Juta Kanaka Savaranam Sayamitam ra rer. Vasana murasi drishtam yat saki tevi bharti. Kimidam mayi vishake ha pramada pramado. Vyavasitam nidam nasya pasya shudan va ya ya. Vishaka, look, what is this? Yesterday evening I saw the same bright golden cloth on Murari's chest. He was wearing it as a chadar, and now your friend is wearing it. Alas, alas, how could this happen to a pure housewife? Hearing Mukher's words, Vishaka shows her the sun rays that are entering the house through the window and touching Radha's blue cloth that cover her brightly shining golden limbs, making that cloth seem golden. Being addressed like this by Vishaka, Mukher leaves the room. She goes carefully for what mishap it would be if by chance hostile elements like Satila would see it. Sri Raghunath says, I carry Sri Radha's maternal grandmother Mukhara, who gives great delight to the young pair Radha and Madhav, with such a sweet undercurrent of her stream of love on my own head. With great joy, eagerness, and humor, I carry Radha's maternal grandmother named Mukhara, who uses different pretexts to obstruct the erotic pastimes of her grandchildren, the beautiful young girl Radha and the beautiful young boy Krishna, but who thus secretly gives them great bliss on my head. So she's just saying these things to increase the bliss of Radharani and all the sakis. She's saying, what? What is this yellow garment? Isn't this, didn't I see this on Krishna yesterday? What is she doing? What has she been running last night with that boy Krishna? Now I'm seeing this. What's going on? And then Vishaka says, oh, Mukhara, don't you know you're blind? You can't see very well. You know, everyone knows you're blind. You're thinking this is yellow, but actually it's Radharani's blue cheddar. She has a blue cheddar. And the sun is coming through, the sun rays, the rising sun, you know, it's Pratak Leela, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. The rising sun is coming through the window, and it's shining on her cheddar. And you're thinking that it's actually yellow, but it's actually blue. Then Mukhara says, oh, yes, you're right. My eyes are not very good. I really can't see. I'm going colorblind anyway. Anyway, it's very nice. I'll see you later. It's nice my granddaughter's getting up. And then she leaves. So this is described. What do you have there? From Govinda Lilamrita. It's Mark?
Yeah.
As Mukhara enters Radha's bedroom, she begins gibbering. How astonishing! Although morning has come, still my Natni is sleeping. Natni means granddaughter. Then she affectionately calls Radharani, oh, my child, get up, oh, innocent one. Today is Sunday, have you forgotten? We read that. Hearing Mukhara's voice, Vishaka suddenly wakes up. Although she's tired herself, she nervously rises to call Srimati. Oh, Saki, get up. So after the evening pastimes of Radharani from, you know, Nishant Leela, which is from 3:36 to 6 in the morning, Nishant means end of night, after they leave Nikunj and return to Varsana or to Yavat, then different Sakis are assigned to go with Radharani to Yavat and stay with her. So this particular night, this particular Leela, they asked Vishaka to go. So Vishaka was there, and she was just sleeping outside Radharani's room, or nearby Radharani's room. And she woke up when she heard Mukhara's voice. Innocent Radharani sleeps like a swan, resting upon the ripples of a lake. Although hearing Mukhara, Jatila, and Vishaka, Srimati repeatedly tries to rise, but due to the fatigue of Rati Keli, she again falls back into slumber. Then, seeing this opportunity, Rati Mundri comes forward and massages Radhika's lotus feet. Rati is also at Raghunath Das. Finally, from everyone's coaxing, Radharani rises from her luxurious bed. Seeing a bright yellow cloth covering Radhika's body, however, arouses Mukhara's suspicion. Thus she speaks in a heart-piercing tone. Aye, Vishaka, I saw Krishna wearing this cloth yesterday. Now it's covering Radharani. Hi, what a disgrace. How could such thing happen to a young girl hailing from a family of spotless reputation? Vishaka becomes startled by Mukhara's words. Then she nervously looks towards Radhika, and she sees Krishna's garment, and she wonders, uh-oh, what's this? Being sharp-witted, however, Vishaka quickly answers, oh, you naive Mukhara, you're blind because of your old age. Can't you see that the sun rays shining through the window onto Radha's golden body
Thus her blue garment appears to be shining yellow before your vision. Why are you accusing my innocent and faultless Radhika? Then Visakha quickly removes that yellow garment, and she retorts Mukara with a counteroffensive. Oh, Jarti, chi-chi. Chi-chi. Jarti means old lady. Like Jara, we say, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi. Jara means old lady. So Jarti means one, an old lady. So Jarti, oh, you old lady, chi-chi. In your old age, your vision is terrible. Yesterday evening, you couldn't see Krishna's cheddar properly either. And now just look more closely. As Radha's bodily color resembles molten gold, the sun rays cast over her blue cloth make it appear yellow. And thus your vision has failed you again, you old lady. So why are you needlessly scandalizing your innocent and pure granddaughter? Vishaka's tactful words embarrass Mukara, and thus she leaves to perform her morning duties. Although appearing otherwise, Mukara favors Radha Krishna's loving affairs. Only externally does she show disregard. This is a characteristic of her relationship with Radha. Mukara's intentions can be understood by her previous words. Surya Puja Gya Nija Abhishtan Lagya. You can perform Surya Puja and fulfill your desire. So that's the outer meaning. But the inner meaning, which Mukara is really saying, is you go to Suryakund and you will fulfill your inner desire to meet with Krishna and enjoy with him. So she's actually quite favorable, although sometimes she appears to be unfavorable. There's nothing more that Mukara wants than to see Radha and Krishna together. That's that. There's more? Is there something else? About Mukara, I don't think so. In Rasodgar, recollection of previous pastimes when Shyamala comes to Nandagram. And seen at Javad.
Maybe a little bit before, but I'm not sure.
I don't have anything here from Bhavan Amrita. Yeah, there may be something here also. The village of Radharani's grandmother. This village is named after Mukara, the mother of Kirtida Devi, who is the mother of Srimati Radharani. Behind the temple are some bhajan shilas, large stones which Radharani would hit with a small stone to make fascinating music. Ask the pujari to play a few tunes. Mukara Devi shows a special type of affection towards Radha and Krishna. She exhibits Sankula Rati. Sankula Rati. Did we say Pratikul? Anukul, Pratikul, and Sankul. What's Pratikul?
Anukul is favorable
and Pratikul is against. So Sankul means favorable and unfavorable. She exhibits Sankula Rati, which means that the primary rasa or mellow is blended with other humors. The mood of Mukara is Vatsalya, parental love, mixed with Sakya, friendship. Sankula Rati differs from Kevala Rati, which is a pure state of a mellow favoring only a single affection. So she has different mellows. Kevala Rati, like Madhurya, Kevala Rati means it's just Madhurya. It's completely saturated Madhurya. But this Sankula Rati, sometimes she's in the mood of a mother and like chastising and being very motherly. Then other times she's just like a friend and saying, oh, Radharani, where's Krishna? Why aren't you with him? So she goes back and forth. So she's changing. And of course there's friendship in Madhurya Ras and these feelings of friendship, but the Sankula Rati, she kind of wavers. Sometimes she shows just a Sakya Ras, a friendship, and sometimes she shows Vatsalya Ras. That's her special. She's very special in that, actually. Nanda Yashoda and many of the residents of Vrindavan eternally exhibit Kevala Bhakti. This means that they always display the mood of Vatsalya Bhav, intimate paternal affection. They never entertain any other mellow. In Sankula Rati, mixed mellows, the mellows of Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya can combine together in one individual. Uddhava sometimes serves Shamsundar as a loyal servant, Dasya, and at other times he behaves intimately as a friend, Sakya. The friendship of Balaram is mixed with parental love. Sometimes Mukara would act as a mother and appear to chastise Radharani for misbehaving with Krishna. In anger, Mukara would place many obstacles to stop Radha Madhava's amorous pastime. With her crooked deeds, Mukara only increased the happiness of the youthful couple, who are her own grandchildren. I bow down to the elderly Mukara Devi, holding her lotus feet upon my head. That's a different translation.
that what we read there. That's kind of the way I put it together. At other times, Mukura, like a loving friend, would take pleasure in arranging the meetings of Radha and Krishna, Bhakti Ratnakara. So she's sometimes in the mood of Sakya, like a friend, and sometimes she's acting in like a mother, chastising. So. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama.